You just feel the Holy Spirit now. Which is great because that's what we're talking about tonight. Again, we've been talking about, the last several weeks, we've been talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And our main text has been Galatians 5, 22 to 23, which specifies the fruit or the experiences, the conduct, and the characteristics that the Holy Spirit produces in the life of the believer in Christ. And this is in contrast to the works of the flesh. As we continually walk with the Spirit's help, being led by the Holy Spirit, He will continually be producing in us the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so what is the fruit again? Let's go over it again. Let's all say it together. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so far we've looked at love, an element found in all the fruit of the Spirit, since God is love. And the fruit of love is the very essence of who God is. And so this fruit of love runs through all the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And then last week we looked at joy. Joy as love's song or an expression or an experience of the love of God within us. And tonight we're going to look at the fruit of peace, love's restfulness. As we abide and rest in Him, in the Holy Spirit, He will produce in us a peace, a restful peace, unlike anything the world can offer. So this week I was asking the Lord, like I normally do, Lord, what do you want me to preach about Saturday night? And I do that normally, even if I'm going through a series, because I want to follow the Holy Spirit. So if he wants me to wander off of a series for a little while, I will. But he just gave, right away when I asked him, these words came to mind. He said, be at peace, all is well. I thought, okay, well, that's good, but what do you want me to preach about? And then I thought, oh, wait a minute. And right at that moment, I got a text from Crystal, said, aren't we talking about joy Saturday night? peace, sorry. She's like shaking her head. And sure enough, I was like, oh, wait, he just told me, peace. We're talking about peace. So I thought that was pretty neat the way the Lord had brought to my remembrance what the subject was to be tonight. And not only that, he was giving me peace at the same time. He said, be at peace, all is well. But even more amazing was when I was reviewing the meaning of the word shalom for tonight, which is peace in Hebrew. And I was looking at the definition of shalom, and these words jumped out. Do you know what they were? All is well. Isn't that cool? So not only was he giving me the subject for tonight, but he was giving me peace at the same time, me personally, experience of peace, that he was on top of it, even though I wasn't. And he was giving me the type of peace that he was wanting me to talk about. All is well. Shalom. And then what's even more interesting is right after I asked him just about the sermon topic, I asked him to give me some new insight and new revelation into the word to share with y'all tonight. And he said again, be at peace, again, all is well. You can rest in me because in me all is well. I just wrote it down. Now, I had totally forgotten, you know, what we've been talking about, that peace is, that restfulness is love's restfulness. And here he had said to me, be at rest in me, because in me all is well. So essentially he was saying, I've got this. You can be at rest, be at peace, and in me all is well. Amen? Okay, we can go home now because that's the whole time. We don't have to seek peace outside of him. The world cannot offer us a restful experience of all is well, can it? Now, our attempts to find peace in the world take us where? Anybody? The wrong direction, right? Yeah, our solutions of the flesh, the works of the flesh, our old BC or before Christ patterns of thinking, our ways of behaving, our conduct, and our experiences, that's what we jump to when we get in the need for peace. We often go to our own solutions, our old patterns of thinking that we are being renewed from, right? We're being transformed and renewed to the new creature in Christ. And those are our old patterns of thinking. So often when we're all stirred up in our stuff, where do we turn? We go back to the old solutions that we have. Where have your own solutions to finding peace taken you? Now, you don't have to answer that here in front of everybody. Now, in Galatians 5, 19 through 21, which is just a few verses before the fruit of the Spirit, we find out, you can read there, about what the works of the flesh are. They're up there on the overhead. So that's where our solutions to find peace take us. That's where they take us, right? We are a world of people seeking peace. Somebody said the other night that the favorite hymn here at this church anyway is Let There Be Peace on Earth. But when we choose to rest, to abide in Christ, to be led to a place of rest by the power of the Holy Spirit, we will find his peace. In him, we find that all is well. Okay, now I have a little puppy, Bella. There she is. She's old. She's an old puppy now. But since she was real little, if there's thunder and lightning outside, she's right at my feet. And she needs me to hold her until it passes by. So today, of course, as I'm trying to prepare for the sermon, she's right there and the rain's just pouring down and the thunder's shaking the windows. And she's like, you know, needing me to pick her up. So I picked her up and I held her. And, you know, even though the storm kept going outside, within just a few minutes being in my arms, her little head, her little nose was on my arm. And in my arm, she just fell asleep. And that's a good picture. Thank you, Lord. You just gave me a sermon illustration right there and then. See, he's on top of it even when I'm not. But it just you know, just how we can be at rest in our Father's arms and at peace and know that all is well, even when the storm is still raging on all around us. Amen? Amen. Jesus was having his last supper with the disciples. In John 14, 26 and 27, he tells them that he will be going soon, and then he speaks words of comfort to them. And he says, I'm going, but the helper and advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and will bring to your remembrance all the things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Do not be afraid. Jesus was soon going to leave the disciples, and these are his final instructions to them before his arrest and his crucifixion. I can only imagine the disciples sitting down to eat, still a little confused as to why Jesus washed their feet, maybe feeling a little uncomfortable, and thinking maybe something a little weird is going on, something is afoot. No pun intended. But I can imagine maybe what they were thinking or saying to themselves or whispering under their breath as he spoke. Like, why does it sound like he's leaving town? Are we going with him? What's going on? He's saying he's leaving, but we're going to be okay. He going to leave us what? Peace? He's going to leave us peace. What? Disciples didn't get it. They didn't completely understand all that was that Jesus had been telling them to that point. They were about to enter a time of great transition, turmoil, persecution, and eventually martyrdom for the most of them. But Jesus wanted them to know that his physical absence wouldn't be for long, and that then in time, he would send them the Holy Spirit, his very presence, the Comforter, to abide with them as they abided in him. Jesus' purpose in telling them all these things was so that they could be assured that in abiding or resting in the presence of the Holy Spirit, they would never be alone. And even in their most difficult circumstances, they could have peace that was unlike anything they had ever known. He was essentially saying, I have to go, but be at peace. All is well. You can rest in me because in me all is well. The world may be in chaos all around us, but in him, in his presence, all is well. Jesus said that we would face trials in this world. But he also said that he would give us his peace, translated from the Hebrew, shalom. And this shalom is different from our own conjuring up of positive thinking or trying to make ourselves feel better by finding solutions to numb our pain or to distract us for a little while. Our own solutions to finding peace are the best that the world can give, but Jesus gives us peace not as the world gives. Now you see, the kind of peace that Jesus gives, this shalom, has a much richer connotation than the English word for peace. It conveys not merely the absence of conflict, but also the notion of a positive blessing, a right relationship with God, and this idea that all is well. And get this, shalom is manifested most clearly amid persecution, trial, and tribulation. That's when we experience the shalom peace at its best, is when we're going through trials and difficult times. We can know that all is well. It's the kind of quiet confidence like Jesus had sleeping in the bottom of the boat in the middle of a raging storm. A peace in the midst of suffering and hardship that only through the Holy Spirit we can experience. Jesus promises this peace as he's preparing the disciples for his departure from this world, and he tells them that he is sending them the Holy Spirit of truth, the Spirit of truth, an advocate, a comforter, the provider of peace. And at the end of the supper, Jesus explains, I have said these things to you that in me you may have shalom. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. In 1871, Horatio Spafford, a prosperous lawyer and devout Christian, and his wife, Anna, were living comfortably with their four young daughters in Lakeview, Chicago. In that year, a great fire broke out, which devastated the entire city. And for the next 2 years, Horatio and Anna devoted their time to welfare work amongst the refugees of the fire. By November 1873, the Spaffords needed some respite and decided to join friends in Europe. But just before their departure, Horatio was detained for business. Anna and their four daughters were persuaded to set off without him. But en route, tragedy struck. The steamship that they were traveling on sank after colliding with another ship mid-ocean. Of the hundreds on board, Anna was one of only 27 who were rescued, having been kept afloat by a piece of debris. Her daughters did not survive. Overcome with despair at the loss of her children, Anna felt strongly that she had been saved for a purpose. In Chicago, Horatio received a tragic telegram from his wife. It said, "Saved alone." Setting off to bring Anna home, he crossed the Atlantic and the watery grave of his four daughters. And moved by the experience, he wrote a hymn. "It is well with my soul." This hymn remains one of the most popular Christian hymns today in the U.S. And the first verse goes like this: "When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, and when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." You can know a constant, abiding peace, like a river of peace, constantly flowing, regardless of what sorrows of trials surround you. And like Horatio, you can experience the fruit of God's transcendent peace and be at rest even in the most difficult circumstances of your life. As you rest in his presence, abide, stay there, seek him out, and allow him to be in control. He will produce in you a peace far beyond your natural understanding, a peace that will guard your heart and your mind, allowing you to experience his rest. Jesus promises us shalom, an experience of all is well, that we can have even at the most difficult of times in our lives. Sarah Young, in her devotional Jesus Calling, imparts a poignant word from the Lord, and it reads this: "Refresh yourself in my presence. This peace can be your portion at all times and in all circumstances. Learn to hide in the secret of my presence, even as you carry out your duties in the world. I am both with you and within you. I go before you to open up the way and also walk alongside you. There could never be another companion as devoted as I am. Because I am your constant companion, there should be a lightness to your step that is observable by others. Do not be weighed down with problems and unresolved issues, for I am your burden bearer. In the world you have trials and distress, but don't let them get you down. I have conquered the world and deprived it of power to harm you. In me, you may have confident peace. Be at peace. All is well. You can rest in me because in me, all is well." Will you pray with me?